Well, we're starting off a new year, and as we've been talking about, you know, the last couple of years have been pretty difficult for, like, everybody in the world, right? Including us. It's not like we didn't have reasons for stress and anxiety before 2020 came along, but you take all that old stress and then you put in the stress of pandemics and politics and whatever else from the last couple of years, and you know, it's been tough, and mental health has taken a hit. I've had my frustrations and discouragements, too. I'm not immune to that stuff, of course. Just like all of us, I expect I have my days where the difficulties in my life or in my job or in my relationships maybe get too much of my focus, and I can get down. I was feeling some of that earlier this week. But you know what? I had a time of prayer in the middle of my week this week that really refreshed me. And God reminded me of all the good that's going on still and the good in my life. And it helped me to bounce back pretty well, I'd say. Prayer will do this from time to time, you know. God encouraged me. And so today, as we start off this new year together, I want to turn around and seek to encourage you. So Christ followers, I'm talking to you today, and I want to encourage you by saying to you this morning that you are on the right road. If you're following Jesus with your life, you're on the right road. So keep it up in 2022. Embrace it. Thank God for it. Be all about it. Dig deeper into it. Get rid of the parts within you that don't line up with it, and then celebrate and enjoy it. Life as a Christian is not without its hard times or its questions and doubts. We've just walked through a really tough thing with Maria Redmond's death. None of us lack for life experiences that test our faith, but I'd ask you today to never forget all the incredible reasons to believe. They outweigh the questions and the doubts. I really believe that. One piece of evidence for the truth of Christianity, something that I want to talk about today, is how being a Christ follower feeds our souls. You know, if we get really serious about learning and obeying Jesus, and we then discover that it heals us and it brings us alive and it feeds our souls, I would say that's evidence for Christianity's truth. And in fact, Jesus threw out that very idea and said once simply, "Hey, if you hold to my teaching, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In other words, just try it out. Give it a real serious go, and then you'll know that it's true. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I want us to reflect today on how much Christianity actually does feed our souls. Let's consider together the goodness of God as it's communicated to us in the Bible, as we have experienced it in our walks with Him. Let's take a good look at the good paths the God of the Bible leads us on. And all of this is going to reinforce my claim to you this morning, my encouragement to those of you who are seriously following Christ in your lives, that you're on the right path. God is good. You know, sometimes you'll hear people kind of scoffing, I guess, at Christianity due to the rules and restrictions it lays out for people to follow. You hear that from time to time. We human beings in general don't particularly like it when we're told what to do. But I want to assert to you today that life without rules is a recipe for disaster. There's a group of landscape architects who were given the task of constructing an orphanage. And before building it, they decided to analyze what kinds of play areas work best for kids. And as part of that process, they did a study on the physical and psychological influences on preschool children of having a fence around their playground. They discovered that on playgrounds without fences, the children tended to gather around the teacher and were reluctant to stray too far from her view. On playgrounds that were fenced in, however, the children ran all around the entire playground, feeling freer to explore. This makes me think again of Jesus' statement there. If you hold to my teaching, if you obey the rules, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I believe there can be freedom that comes from having boundaries. So the fence promoted healthy play and discovery in those preschoolers. Freedom found within boundaries is different from the quote-unquote freedom that comes from not having any boundaries or rules at all. The prodigal son in the story Jesus told wanted that second kind of freedom. He wanted to get away from the structure of his father's household and go live how he wanted to live. And he did just that, and some of the detail of how he lived is described in that story. And it was indeed a recipe for disaster for him. He learned the wisdom of having structure and having rules, and he humbly returned to his father and asked to be readmitted to his household. Back to the illustration of a fenced-in playground versus a playground without a fence. We don't need a study to tell us that if you have a playground without a fence and you leave the students playing there unattended, there would always be the possibility of one or more of those students deciding to head out on their own, right? Wander into the busy street or just disappear without anyone knowing where they went. Again, recipe for disaster. Fences, rules, guidelines, they can keep us safe. If you've ever played a sport or a game of any kind, and that would be all of us, then you know that if the people playing the game with you don't follow the rules and they keep cheating or whatever, it really ruins the game. You can't have fun playing a game when you're playing with rule breakers. Rules are good for us, fellow human beings. We need them. We need rules and guidelines for how to treat others and how to take care of our bodies. We need rules and guidelines on money and sex and parenting and on and on and on. And God, in his goodness, provides those guidelines for us. So rejecting Christianity simply because it lays out rules for us to follow would be a really big mistake. We need rules, and the God of the Bible is good to us in this. Christianity is healthy for us. So, God is good to us in giving us rules in general. And then if you look at the individual rules that he provides for us, you'll see also that he is good. Would anybody argue that the teachings in the Bible for us to give to those who are in need or to care for the sick aren't life-giving and right commands? Even non-Christians see those commands as good. At least anyone who cares a lick about morality would. Jesus leads us in right and good ways. He also asks us to be humble servants. You may remember the slide that I've put up for us many times in the past on the screen. I don't have it for you today, but the one that shows God's system of how he, the supreme leader, humbles himself and serves us through Jesus, and how we then are to humble ourselves and love and serve other people. We're also to humble ourselves and love and serve God. And when you step back and look at that whole system on the screen, we see how everybody in that design of God, everybody gets loved and served. Everyone in that system displays humility rather than arrogance and shows a willingness to serve rather than to be served. Everyone focuses on loving. That system of God's is beautiful and right and amazing. God's so amazingly good. And when we get ourselves into that system that he teaches there, it's exciting because it is so good and it feeds our souls. Speaking of love, is there any greater teaching on love out there in the entire world than the instructions God gives to us on it in the Bible? Is there any greater definition of love out there than love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. Love never fails. Is there any standard of love put forth out there that's higher than this one? Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And is there any religion out there that can compare to Christianity in not only teaching those values, but also in demonstrating them? A God who lays down his life for those he created and calls them friends. That does not happen in any other religious system. That was unheard of before Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we're healed. It's the greatest story ever told. And it's not just a story, it's a love story. He loves us. And someone must be needing to hear Zephaniah 3:17 today, because the Holy Spirit put it in Harlow and my head this morning. Zephaniah 3:17, we saw it earlier, describes God as taking great delight in his people, and it says he rejoices over us with singing. This is a love story. So yes, Christianity understands, teaches, even models love better than any other moral or religious system out there. God is so good. Following Jesus is life-giving, and it feeds our souls. The code of ethics in the Bible plainly shows the way of the world, talking now about the way of people who have rejected God, the Bible shows that for what it is. When you compare the list of behaviors that Jesus calls us to the ways of the world, which would pretty much typically be the opposite of what Jesus calls us to, it's easy to see which way is right and true. The world's way is self-focus rather than other focus or God focus. The world's way often is slander and putting others down instead of believing in people and seeking to build others up. The world's way is doing whatever it takes to be in power and stay in power rather than humbly lifting up the other and serving, as we've talked about a moment ago. It's drunkenness and sexual immorality rather than sober, careful living that seeks not to cause harm. One way leads people to health and to giving life to the others around them. The other way leads people to pain and taking life from the others around them. There's a way that seems right to man, it says in Proverbs 14:12, but its end is the way to death. So that way that seems right to man is the way the devil would tempt us to. And once he gets his talons into us, he may even try to lead us into even worse things. But Jesus and his light also plainly show the devil for what he is. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said, but I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. And in all this, we see again the rightness of God, the rightness of Jesus. There's this path of darkness and death available to us in the world. There's a path of light and life. Jesus offers that one. He's food for our soul, nourishment for our spirit. We're looking at the ways that God, the God of the Bible, feeds our souls today, and how good the paths are that God leads us on, all of this being evidence in itself that Christianity is true. And really, just the fact that God offers to lead us and to be in relationship with us is in itself a pretty incredible thing. The Bible says that the true God of the universe is not distant, and that we are not left alone. Instead, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And there are those life-giving words from Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd. He guides me along right paths. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If we'll seek to, if we will seek him, pray to him, obey him, listen to him, he'll be involved in our lives and will work all things together for our good, Romans 8:28. He cares about the desires of our hearts and will bring them to us when possible, Psalm 37:4. And so we can cast our anxiety on him because he cares about us. Man, we need this stuff, don't we? We're not alone. God offers to lead us through the hills and the valleys of life, and he's a good leader. And when I am broken, he repairs me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Jesus comes to me in my brokenness and says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your soul." Those who hope in the Lord, the Bible proclaims, will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. God does not leave us alone. He leads us, and he leads us well. Amen. Many of us here today have we've experienced at least a measure of the promise from God that if we follow him, he will turn us into people who display the characteristics of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're to judge something from its fruit, right? And if we're seeing that kind of fruit growing in true Christ followers, then we judge Christ to be the real deal. Don't judge too strictly now. Remember, the Bible makes it clear that Christians are still sinners. We're going to have our good moments. We're going to have our failures. But the question is, do you see that type of fruit growing in people who are seriously trying to follow Jesus? That's the question. Christianity, this is good for us. And finally, talk about food for our souls. How about that good old gospel message? When our sins have piled up and brought the consequences that sin always eventually brings, when the guilt and the regret is pushing down upon us, Jesus comes to us and offers us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance, and so on, if we'll come to him in repentance. And God remains just through it all, because the death sentence for our sin was paid on our behalf. Yeah, God knows the human condition, and Jesus is the only one who has brought an answer for it. Look at all these ways in which following Jesus feeds us, grows us, heals us, and provides to us just what we need. Christianity is true, Calvary. Amen. And that means that you, Christ follower, are on the right path. Now, I know that you all here today are Christ followers, but maybe you're listening on the radio later, and you're not, and I would just implore you to become one. What's keeping you from it? I'd love to talk to you about that. It's okay to have questions. Let's talk them out. We need to get you into the kingdom. Maybe you believe you are a Christian, but the term obedient Christ follower probably doesn't honestly apply to your life. And well, then you've got some work to do. Most, and maybe even all, of the benefits of being a Christian that we've talked about here this morning don't come to those who aren't truly following. You've got to get straight with God. But for those of you today who are truly trying to follow Jesus, and I know we all do this imperfectly, but if that's you, again, I want to tell you, you're on the right road. You're doing it right. And really, that's reason to celebrate. It's reason to seek to maintain an optimistic outlook on life and an enthusiastic demeanor, even when life is tough. You know this about me. I just really believe that we've got to keep laughing and singing and playing and dancing. I am really not a good dancer, but I'm with you in heart, dancers. Have parties, have game nights. We've got Jesus, so let's party like it's 2022. We don't need no alcohol to have a good time in the kingdom of God. And listen, you know, I've got to say, I know that we won't always feel like partying and clapping. We live in a tremendously broken world. And, you know, sometimes Christ followers, we run, and sometimes it's all we can do just to hang on. And I know that. But I do believe that if you will hang on to God in days like those, if you'll keep looking to Him, if you'll keep spending time with Him, in time, God will have you back running and soaring like an eagle. So yeah, life's been discouraging lately in many ways and for many reasons, but we have cause to rise above that. There's so much good that God is still doing in this world, still doing in us. Let's turn our eyes onto those things. Be encouraged as you start out this new year, Christian. You're on Jesus's path, the one who brings boundaries so that we can have freedom, the one who brings hope in hopeless situations, the one who is a companion when we're feeling alone, the one who brings peace in chaos, light in darkness, stability in the storm, the one who brings life in death. Life is good, Christ followers. Let's celebrate that.
Today I woke up optimistic. Dollar in my pocket, so I'm winning. Feeling better than expected. I went and found myself a new perspective. Don't matter what tomorrow's bringing. Can't stop my spirit from singing. I got this attitude I can't lose. Nothing that I need as long as I still have you. Stressing, I'm just gonna lean into the blessings. No more second guessing.